Last week we covered Isaiah chapter 58 and we talked about what true righteousness is. And the issue is there's a lot of people think that they're going to get to heaven because of their religion. That's not going to happen. There's a lot of people who think that they're going to get there because of their rituals that they have. That's not going to happen. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. You can't do that unless you know the saving grace of Christ. And so, in verses 1 through 5, we see that ritualism or religion is not acceptable to God. Ritualism, or just practices, lures people to sleep. You think you're safe and secure in what you are, but in fact, you're going the wrong way. Ritualism is doing good things for the wrong reason. To please yourself, not to please God. Ritualism leads to strife. And the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Ritualism is not God's way. We look back at Zechariah chapter 7, which we studied before, where they were fasting on their own because they just made it a routine. And it wasn't what God required, because God has feast days, not fast days. Okay? If you want to fast, that's perfectly fine. But the issue is, it's not to fast to look bad. It's to fast to get closer to God. And so, righteousness is always acceptable to God. It leads to a deeper relation. It leads to victory from sin's bondage. The question in chapter 6, verse 6 is this not the fast I've chosen? To loose the bonds? To meet your bread to the poor? It leads to ministry to others. It leads to spiritual growth and testimony. It leads to a deeper relationship with God. They would have answered prayers. Verse 9, they would receive blessings from God in verses 11 and 10. And they would demonstrate the character of God and make a difference. And then lastly, in way of review very quickly, we see the requirements for righteousness is to turn from yourself. Is to turn from self. We need to understand the principle of the Sabbath. See, everybody has made religion for man. But we need a relationship with God. That's the whole point. And so the principle of Sabbath is stop and reflect on what God's done. Stop and look at what God has done for you and listen to Him. There's a lot of Christians, or they call themselves Christians, they don't listen to God's Word. They do the exact opposite. They do things that are clearly sin in God's Word and they say it's okay. It's never okay. God hates sin. We need to be holy and righteous in all these things. So we need to turn from self and then delight in the Lord, participate in the practice of the Sabbath. And then we look to Psalm 34, 4 and 7. I'm going to use verse 7 again tonight. So that's Isaiah 58. We are in a prophecy part about the coming Messiah. So in Isaiah 59, why did Jesus come to earth? Is because mankind has broken his relationship with God. There's a broken connection. Now, this is God's chosen people that Isaiah is coming to, 700 years before Christ. And God, what God wants, he wants them to turn back to him. He wants them to restore the relationship. We need to understand this. Sin separates us from God. So think about, what does unbelief in God do in the lives of people? They'll think for themselves. They can't do righteousness. They don't understand prayer. They pray, but they don't know who they're praying to. They think they do. They're blind. They're walking in darkness. They are refusing God's grace. John 3 says they have the wrath of God abiding on them. There's nothing good comes out of not having a relationship with God. But I could tell you, if you know Christ as your Savior, you know all good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, where there's no shadow or variableness of turning. So we see three points tonight in Isaiah 59. The first one is the condemnation of Israel. Isaiah is one of the few people standing for truth. Folks, it's going to get harder and harder to stand for truth. There's a lot of things going out there that just people just accept. We cannot accept that. If it's in accord with God's word, you do it. If it's not in accord with God's word, don't. And if you doubt, don't. If you got reservations, don't. If you're having to make excuses about it, don't.
Right.
We have confidence through God if our heart is right with Him. So, we see the condemnation of Israel in verses 1 through 8. Why? For their lack of faith. Everything revolves around faith. In verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." There are some people that think that their problems are too big for God, so they try to solve them themselves. That basically says that God's about that big. He's not. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot bear." Sunday night we preached on Psalm 77. And the question was asked by the psalmist, "Does the Lord hear me? Does He hear my prayer? Do I see Him? Because everything in my life is going wrong." And there's a lot of people out there struggling. I was talking to Brother Will and he said, "I've never seen an environment where everybody has some major problem." That's true. But let me tell you something. These are all tests of faith. God gives us problems bigger than ourselves, so we will reach out to Him and we will extend our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. Psalm chapter 130 verse 5 says this, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope." If you trust in the word of man, tell me when someone's let you down. Tell me when everybody that says, "Vote for me and I'll give you all this." Yeah. People say what you want to hear. Only God knows what you need.
Right.
And He'll deliver on that. See, why couldn't the disciples cast out the demons out of the boy when Jesus and the three were up on the Mount of Transfiguration? He says, because of your what? Unbelief. There's people who can't get victory in their lives because of their unbelief. There's people that will miss heaven because of their unbelief. They may be trying very hard, but unbelief will keep you. God can't fix your unbelief.
Right.
You have to trust in that. So the first condemnation of Israel here is for their lack of faith. God is always faithful. "Great is thy faithfulness." Thy mercies, they what? Fail not. They fail not. Secondly, in verses 2 and 8, God lists through Isaiah their iniquities. What's iniquity? It's another word for a transgression or a sin. In verse 2, we see what sin does. Sin separates us from God, which was the main point of this whole lesson tonight. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, "But your," not God, "your iniquities," what you do, "will either glorify Him or turn your back on Him. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Remember Adam and Eve? They ate of the wrong tree. And then what did they do when God came in the garden? They hid themselves. And God knew where they were. God knew what they did. He just wanted them to realize that. He says, "Your iniquities are separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." When you pray to God and you don't feel something's happening, you don't feel that He's hearing, you need to examine yourself. When we don't see God moving in our life, we need to ask ourselves, why? David had that issue. And he kept on, he says, creating me a what? Clean heart. We have to do this daily. And so the condemnation of Israel for their iniquities, first of all, is that we need to realize that sin separates us from God. It separated the God's chosen people. Didn't change their it didn't change their status. They still his chosen people, but they weren't following him. Then in verses 3 through 8, we see the sins identified. A lying tongue. James chapter 3 says that a tongue can what? No man tame. It's a raging fire and it's full of what? Iniquity. But in verse 3 it says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. But look at the last part. Your lips have spoken lies. Folks, when we come in here and we say, oh, how I love Jesus, are you telling the truth or are you lying? Ooh. Okay? When we say God did this in your life, is it you, God or you? Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. Okay? So the first thing is a lying tongue. I think Christ said that out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. He says, what you say defiles a man, not what you put in. Secondly, injustice and evil thoughts. This is what's happening in the world today, folks. We hear all stuff about injustice. And the issue is, everybody come to God. If everybody came to God, we wouldn't have injustice. Right. We wouldn't have the problems we have right now. Christ is all you need. He is the answer. None calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. God says, I've looked for a man who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if anyone would understand, and he found none. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. He says, none calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. Why? Because they trust in vanity, empty words, empty actions. And we're seeing the result of that today. And speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth what? Iniquity. Sounds like James 1. Every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. So their sins identify, first of all, a lying tongue. You know, Christ said, everyone speak truth to their neighbor. Say, injustice and evil thoughts, oppression of others. In verse 5, they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave spider webs. That he that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. That doesn't sound very good at all. No, it doesn't sound very good at all. But you turn on the news, do you hear anything good? Wow. And they're just making it happen. Verse 6, self-righteousness. Their webs. Oh, you hear the thing. Oh, what a tangled web we what? Weave. People are always conniving. They're always trying to find a better mousetrap. What Isaiah is writing here under inspiration of God, it says, the mousetrap will trap you. It says, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. It's all about self-righteousness. Their works are works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. All our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. So their sins identify lying tongue, injustice and evil thoughts, oppression of others, self-righteousness, and then just absolute wickedness. I'm sorry, I didn't advance that. So their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Then there's wickedness. Verses 7 and 8. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon's instructing his son. He says, look, there's people that will come up and say, hey, cast your lot in with us. We're going to go out and we're going to lay in wait. We're going to shed innocent blood. But look at this. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Wasting and destruction are in their paths. And you know what's happening? They were running headlong into Babylonian captivity. They were running headlong into a mess, and they couldn't fix it. The way of peace, they know not. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They're not doing righteousness, because we know that righteousness, that judgment is righteousness. They have made them crooked paths. Whoso goeth therein shall not know peace. Two chapters ago, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So God's laying all this out through Isaiah about the condemnation of Israel here. Basically said, the consequences of sin is separation from God. Their sins identified as a lying tongue, injustice and evil thoughts, oppression of others, self-righteousness, and then just wickedness. So when you're confronted with the truth, what do you need to do? Repent and come to the truth. You have to agree to truth. It's not what you think. It's what truth is. And we serve a God of all truth. So in verses 9 through 15, we see the confession of Israel. Okay? The first reality is, in verse 9, is we are not as good as we think we are. There's a lot of good people, or what they consider themselves good, in hell today. And they all say, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. In verse 9 says, therefore is judgment far from us. You know what judgment does? Judgment brings you back from righteousness. Judgment is dealing with iniquity by the word of truth. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. Everywhere they come up with a better idea. Let's come up with another plan. And all the plans are going to fall short. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we what? Walk in darkness. And Christ said, I'm the light of the world. He that has the light in me will not walk in darkness. This is a contrast. You're either walking in the light, or you're walking in darkness. If you're walking in the light, you're going to see and understand the grace of God. If you're walking in darkness, you won't. We're not as good as we think we are. In verse 10, we are in spiritual darkness. There's a lot of people that don't know their condition. They don't really understand that they're as bad off as the Bible says they are. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind, looking for the what? Looking for the opening. looking for the way out. They were groping. We want out of this mess that we're in. We want to be out of this darkness. But you're not going to find it on your own. You're going to find it God's way. You got to come to His light. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. It makes no difference. We are in desolate places as what? Dead men. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are spiritually dead. You may be alive physically, but you are spiritually dead. Only through Christ will He give you a new birth. Only through Christ will He quicken you spiritually and make you a lively stone and make you alive to Him. So the confession of Israel, verse 9, we are not as good as we think we are. Verse 10, we are in spiritual darkness. And you know something? Once you realize you're not as good as you are, you think you are, and if you're in darkness, what does that do for hope? You lose hope. It says, we have no hope. In verse 11, it says, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. Constantly making noise because of the agony that they're in, but never coming to the truth that could save them. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. And you know, when you're in trouble and someone bothers you, what happens? You tend to what? Snap at them. You growl at them. You transport all your hatred on them. It says, we look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. But praise God, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, salvation comes to those that are near and those that are far off. So we have no hope. Now the real issue is, you need to see the way things as God says them. It says, we are as wicked as you, God, say we are. And that's why you is capitalized here. We have sinned against you. Violating God's law is first a sin against Him. You need to get this relationship right so your relationship sideways with other people can be right. If this relationship is broken, forget this. You might appease it for a while, but you'll never have restoration and reconciliation. Verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. We're not as good as we say we are. And you know, sometimes we think we had a pretty good day, but if we ask the Holy God if we had a really good day, you know, we find out that we fell what? Way short. And we thought we were pretty good, but in the end, we really were bad. I said, why do you keep on harping on this? This is God's word, first of all. See, the issue is that Isaiah is another in a long line of prophets coming to God's chosen people for Him. He just wanted them to turn to Him and repent. And he's just hoping that one day that the light bulb would click. It just keeps on hammering away truth, that the light bulb would click and people would just turn to Him. For our transgressions are multiplied before Thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquity, we know them. You know what you're doing. You may be able to hide it from your parents. You may be able to hide it from your kids. You may be able to hide it from your coworkers. You may be able to hide it from people in church, but you can't hide it from God. Right. Deep down inside, you know there's things here. And you know something? There's always something in our lives we get right with God. Always. There's always something. We can always be better. We can always be best. Right. Not good enough. That's the enemy of best. Verse 13, in transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. See, there's hope in these verses because, you know, in order to get saved, you need, first of all, know that you're a sinner. We have to admit that we are sinners. We have to admit that we're beyond ourselves, that we need help. So the first thing is confession. He says, we have sinned against you. We have sinned against others. Now I guarantee you, if you're running away from God, you're hurting others. Natural consequence. Verses 14 and 15, it says, and judgment is turned away backward. What is judgment? Judgment is how we deal with others. And justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. That's today, folks. That's what's happening out in the world today. There is no truth. It's whatever they think they is. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Now, what does that mean? People who do good are canceled. People who do good are castigated. People who do good are called out on and oppressed. Maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. You know, we pray for our leaders, and we need to. We pray for our country, we need to. But God already knows what's going on. He already knows what's going on. He looks down on our country and he says, why are you doing this? He looks down on churches and he says, why are you doing these things? He looks down on families and he says, why are you doing these things in your family? He looks down on individuals. He says, why are you doing this? You say you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. So this is pretty heavy duty stuff. So there's this big issue of condemnation, okay? For their lack of faith and for their iniquities. There's this confession that they need to make. But where sin abounds, grace therefore much more abounds. And here's the consolation of Israel. A couple of weeks ago, we used a verse out of Romans. He says, all day long I've held out my hands to this people. Will they listen? Tonight, Christ is holding out his arms to you. God's holding out his arms through his word and says, there's hope. There's consolation. God alone can bring salvation. God alone can bring salvation. Verse 16. And he saw. Who's the he here? God. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, and look at this verse. Therefore, God's arm brought salvation unto him, God. And that's in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mankind messed it up. Mankind can't fix it. God says, you don't think I can fix this? Here's Christ. Here's Christ. And his righteousness, it sustained them. Look at this next verse. Sounds like Ephesians 6. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. What did Christ preach? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, if you believe in me, you believe in my Father in heaven. He says, if you don't want to believe in me, just believe in me for the works. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. What was the vengeance that Christ took? He exposed all the lies of the religious Jews. He exposed all the lies of all the things that they were just going through the motions of their religion. And exposed all the lies of their Sabbath day rules and their washing rules and all these rules that they made up trying to make themselves good. And he says, you're the blind leading the blind. He goes into the temple and he takes out the money changers. He says, my house would be a house of prayer. You've made it a what? Den of thieves. And the disciples in the Gospels say, this is what happened in Zechariah. He says that the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up. And he says, he was clad with zeal as a cloak. Christ did all those things. He did it to do his Father's will. He did it for us. He wanted to do it because he wants us to have a relationship with him. Oh, folks, he gave up heaven for us. He gave up riches for us. He gave up his life for us. What a consolation. God alone can bring salvation. God alone will bring judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Christ goes through his earthly ministry. He says, judge righteous judgment. He says, I judge no man, but what I do, my Father judges you. Verses 18 through 19, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever ye sow, ye shall also reap. He will be not by no means clear of the guilty. In Exodus chapter 30. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. You know what we need today, folks? We need a respect for God. Amen. We need a respect for God in our lives. We need a respect for God in our families. We need a respect for God in our churches. We need respect for God in our country. And if you don't do it, who will? Who will? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now we're looking at end time prophecy again. God's going to fix this world. You think it's hot now? Tribulation period is going to be a lot worse. You think there's inflation now? Tribulation period is going to be a lot worse. You think there's shortages now? Tribulation period is going to be a whole lot worse. That's God's vengeance on a world system that's wicked. And then after 7 years, Christ is going to come back. He's going to set everything in order. He's going to lift up a standard against him. So God alone will bring salvation. God alone will bring judgment. God alone will show mercy to those who turn to him. In verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Amen. Has the Redeemer come into your life? The Redeemer's here tonight.
Amen.
And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. All I want you to do is just turn from your wicked ways. See, the first thing was, is they had to confess that they were as bad as they thought they were, or as the Word says they are. That's admitting. And then turn to Him. That's believing. That's believing. God alone can quicken with the Spirit. Without Christ, you're dead spiritually. Turning your back on Christ, you're going back into that dead thing again. Verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Okay, when God speaks, we ought to listen, right? Look how this chapter ends. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever and forever. We need to understand that when we get saved, His Spirit comes in us and it will never depart. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. We'll listen to God's Word and we'll want to tell other people about it. And His words will only come out of our mouth. We'll have a Christian worldview. We need that today. We need a biblical worldview today. We need people to stand up for what the truth is. You don't think of what your gender is. You are who God made you to be. You can't get there to heaven. You got to understand that you need salvation. You can't do this. You can't think your way. Doesn't work. And they shall not depart out of the mouth, nor out of the mouth of your kids. Now it burdens me that we don't have more kids in our church. Why is that? Folks, we need to watch out for the kids. I'm praying for VBS. We can break the string right there. We can break this chain. Nor out of your grandkids, your seed seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. We need to get connected with God. Are you connected with Him? You need to know His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know that for sure. Get that right tonight. Understand this. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He came down and lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in place of a man who was a sinner, who represents all of us. He died. He took the penalty for sin, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. He took the penalty of sin on the cross, which was death. He was buried for 3 days. Christ said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again because I'm God. And He raised from the dead on the third day, and He ascended to heaven where there is no sin. And He sits on the right hand of God, and He says, look, I was judged for your sin. God the Father turned His back on me and turned the sky black. And I said, Father, why have you forsaken me? My Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? I went through that for you. I sit on the right hand of God, and because I rose from the dead, I have the power to forgive sins and the power to give you a life in heaven, eternal life, a home in heaven. That's all it is. And all you have to do, admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus Christ did for that, and confess Him as your Lord, and you'll get there. That's the gift. If you've never done that today, do that today. For us folks that are Christians, we need to follow Him. We need to understand and walk in the consolation of Christ and do good and not evil. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask for your time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow you. Father, someone here does not know you, Lord. I just ask that tonight they get saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.